No right is absolute, and with every right comes responsibility. The First Amendment gives every New Yorker the right to speak out, but it does not give anyone the right to sleep in a park or otherwise take it over to the exclusion of others.
Mayor Bloomberg again speaking a little over an hour ago about the eviction of protesters from Zuccotti Park temporarily, he says, so they can clean it and remove tents and tarps and other structures. Protesters, he says, will be allowed back into the park, but will not be allowed to bring the tents back in or the tarps back in. That is being delayed by some court activity that is taking place this morning. The protesters have won a temporary restraining order that stops the city from barring the tents. They'll be arguing that later this morning in more detail in a lower Manhattan courtroom. We will have a lawyer for the occupiers coming up later this morning. As this becomes a legal story, we will follow other breaking developments. We have several hundred Occupy Wall Street protesters marching around lower Manhattan at this hour. Some paused and locked arms outside City Hall's gates, but left peacefully when police and riot gear appeared. Police have been everywhere this morning as the protesters headed west on always congested Canal Street a short time ago. Another group was in Foley Square in lower Manhattan near where the courts are. So we will have an array of guests on this throughout the morning. And joining us now are WNYC's Alex Goldmark, who is downtown with some of the protesters, WNYC's Arun Venugopal, who was covering the mayor's news conference, and Jesse LaGreca, an organizer of Occupy Wall Street, who is also a blogger for the website Daily Coast. Good morning, all three of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jesse LaGreca, since you're with Occupy Wall Street, let me begin with you. What's happening right now as you understand it?
As I understand it, there are several different actions taking place throughout the city in response to the clean out last night. And I use clean out in a very derogatory way because I find it absolutely despicable that this billionaire who's bought our office and represents only his own wealthy interests has decided to reinterpret the First Amendment. You know, I carry a constitution in my pocket. That's my First Amendment. That's my permit right there. And I find it deplorable the way he's behaving like a third world dictator right now.
Well, let me play you another clip of the mayor where he talks about dangers in Zuccotti Park, and this is the main reason that he says he cleared it out.
The dangers posed were evident last week when an EMT was injured as protesters attempted to prevent him and several police officers from helping a mentally ill man who was menacing others. As an increasing number of large tents and other structures were erected, these dangers increased.
Jesse, you want to react to that?
Yeah, this is how we lose our civil liberties. By one person acting out, they take away that liberty from each and every one of us. We saw it with the Patriot Act. We see it as part of a shock doctrine to take away rights from people, while at the same time we're giving more rights to corporate personhood. So it makes me laugh because the only danger that Occupy Wall Street represents is to a corrupt economic system, and we mean it in a peaceful way. We have absolutely no weapons. These guys cleared out a bunch of volunteer medics and librarians last night, and it's absolutely despicable that they turned it around and makes it as if he's doing so in the name of our safety.
Listeners, call in and give us your reactions to the clearing out of Zuccotti Park. Again, the mayor says protesters can return shortly when they clear up the legal questions of to what degree they can return. They can be there 24 hours a day. They can't bring in tents and tarps anymore, the mayor says, and actually sleep there, or I guess they can sleep, but they can't set up these structures. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for anyone, including anybody listening in the group of protesters or who have been directly involved in Occupy Wall Street or at Zuccotti Park, 212-433-WNYC. And, of course, our comments page is open at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. WNYC's Arun Venugopal, you were at the mayor's news conference. Was he asked that question specifically? If he's citing an incident, one incident, where an emergency medical technician was injured trying to help a homeless person, why not provide protection to the park rather than clear out all the innocent people?
Well, I did ask him that question. As I'd noticed in the last month or so, there were no police officers actually entering the park. They weren't doing the regular patrols that they had been doing in the initial weeks, where they would go in to make sure everything was okay, and to even take down structures, even tarps that were appearing to be structures. They were very vigilant about that kind of thing in the first few weeks. At some point, they immediately started. It appeared to be that they were not doing that anymore. A lot of protesters were upset because in terms of security and safety, they felt like it was hard to get the attention of cops to go in and they remove people that they found to be doing, you know, actually criminal acts. So this has been something that's been building up within the community for a while. The mayor said that they had delegated that aspect of controlling the parks about a month ago, I suppose, to Brookfield Properties. So in a sense, it's unclear as to whether he was just sort of like, I guess, handing off that responsibility to the private entity which owned the park.
WNYC's Alex Goldmark is with a group of protesters right now. Alex, where are you?
I'm actually near Canal Street, but I have left the protesters to find a quiet place to talk to you.
Well, what was the last thing you were seeing with the group? How many people were where, and what were they doing?
So I followed the group that had mustered in Foley Square. I stayed with them all morning from about 2 a.m. on as they tried to figure out what to do next. And they eventually marched north to Canal Street, where they have now rallied, where Arun is. And I followed them going past City Hall, where they chanted some expletives about Bloomberg, as well as whose street, our street, and stayed on the sidewalk, stayed peaceful. And for most of that march, there was actually more police than there were protesters.
Jesse LaGreca from Occupy Wall Street, what are the options for the group as you see it for today as this day unfolds?
We go back to Zuccotti Park. That's step number one. Step number two is if Zuccotti Park is an attainable location for us, we find another location. I don't think Bloomberg gets it. This protest started as a protest against the fraud on Wall Street and the corruption of our politicians. Today, it just officially became an anti-Michael Bloomberg protest. And I'd love to see every New Yorker and every person around the country come outside of their houses this weekend and voice their opinions about what they feel is going on here in Oakland or in New York or other places around the country where the corrupt political establishment has decided to use the police force against the citizens that finance. To me, that's an outrage.
Well, you say this is changing from an anti-Wall Street protest to an anti-Michael Bloomberg protest. Let me play you a caller on our morning show, The Takeaway Today, who started by saying he was pretty sympathetic to the goals of Occupy Wall Street, but then this.
This is Robert from Rhode Island. I support the removal of the sit-in in New York. These people are, for the most part, not representing what, in fact, the movement began to be.
So, Jesse LaGreca, what about that? Do you really want to focus this on Mayor Bloomberg and the actions of police and whether you can sleep in tents in a park as opposed to the big global questions of Wall Street and the 1%?
Thank you, Brian. That's an excellent question. You know, I don't want to reframe it. I say that only out of frustration because, to me, I think Bloomberg could have avoided, you know, getting our anger directed if he just had let us allow our protest to go forward. The overarching goals of this protest remain the same no matter what happens, that we're here to have an honest conversation about the future of our country and about the corporate control of our government and just the lawlessness that has taken place and the lack of accountability for the people who have caused crimes in America. I respect Robert and his opinion, but let me add this, that the media has done, not you, Brian, but a lot of other guys, have done it their job to smear this movement in every way they can with petty arguments over violence and so on and so forth. And what crime has Occupy Wall Street committed that compares any way to the crimes that have taken place on Wall Street or the lies that got us into Iraq or all this systemic corruption? So I think now is more necessary than ever to be outside and voicing our opinions and protesting what we feel it is our right as a citizen to protest, because, you know, we're here for the guys like Robert out in Rhode Island fighting for his future, and I hope he joins us instead of paying attention to what the media says, because if he came down and saw things in person, he would want to be part of this movement.
Let's get some callers on the air. Claudine in Battery Park, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a supporter of the movement, but I'm actually happy that they're getting cleared out. What I'd like to see is that I'd like to see the movement focus a message and actually put a policy, you know, policy referendum out there. You know, the Tea Party movement didn't get where they are by camping out in front of the White House. they organized themselves. They got supporters in government to support their objectives. And I think that's what this eviction should do for them, is to help organize and refine the message.
Claudine, thank you very much. So, Jesse LaGreca, could this be a favor in disguise for the Occupy movement, kind of giving you an out for the winter, not having to sleep in the cold, while still being able to come and protest every day and kind of giving you a kick in the pants to go to the next level?
You know, every time that the mayors and everybody in the media has attacked us, it's only worked out in our favor. So I think it could be a silver lining in the clouds. At the same time, let's remind ourselves that, you know, the system that we're arguing against, the system that allowed Mayor Bloomberg to buy the mayor's office and then overturn voters' opinions about whether he should be allowed a third term or not, the system that allows them to buy our congressmen, buy presidential candidates, that's the system that we're fighting against. That's created homelessness. Mayor Bloomberg has no answers for homelessness other than to ship the homeless to other cities. And at the same time, he's depriving them the ability to actually stay alive during the winter. To me, it's what Scrooge would do, not what Jesus would do.
Wasn't there a rule in the first place against tents in Zuccotti Park? Not a rule against assembling, but a rule against tents and tarps and those kinds of structures that they just didn't enforce until now?
You know what happened?
As I was saying earlier, it seems like when these initial tents started appearing, for whatever reason, and it can only be interpreted to be some sort of police policy shift, they stopped, removing those kinds of structures. And within a few days, you suddenly had a lot of tents that have cropped up. The police were not responding to questions about what was going through their minds in terms of policy shift. But, it did allow this sort of tent city to crop up. At the same time, I think there were some protesters who felt like it was kind of getting out of hand in terms of the infrastructure was, in some sense, overwhelming the protest aspect of movement.
That's WNYC's Arun Venugopal. So, Arun, was there a rule that had just not been enforced? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Well, it was Zuccotti Park did post some signs at some point several weeks ago, where they're asking people to observe no tent policy, no sleeping bags, that kind of thing. And essentially the protesters were ignoring those rules and the city was not enforcing it. They seemed to suggest that there was some sort of a gray area in terms of their enforcement, but I think that they were just sort of biding their time and allowing this to build up before doing this sort of surprise tactic.
Jonathan in Smithtown, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Jonathan.
How you doing, Brian? I love the show. Jesse, I think this is the second time I've gotten to speak to you on the show.
That's funny.
Here's my point is I don't support the movement. I mean, I went down there twice. I talked to people. It seemed to be a very socialist movement. That's not my idea in the direction that this country should go in. But I do defend your First Amendment rights. This is absurd. This is ludicrous. He's saying that they were down there keeping other people from going to the park. I'm from Long Island. I went out there twice and had no trouble navigating through the park. The park is still open to people. This is ridiculous, and this is just a violation of everyone's First Amendment rights, and this is another act against liberty.
Jonathan, thank you very much. And that's luck of the draw for Jonathan. We have like hundreds of people calling in, and Jonathan gets to speak to Jesse twice in Jesse's two appearances on the show. So his support of your right to be there is clear. Let's go on to Jamie in Manhattan. You're on WNYC in Upper Manhattan, right, Jamie?
Yes, up in Inwood. And, I mean, in complete opposition to the previous caller, I am a big supporter of what Occupy Wall Street is saying about the financial situation in this country. But I am so frustrated by their response to this. Camping is not free speech. This is a privately owned park that has rules that are not being enforced. I don't support the way that the mayor went about this. But arguing that camping is free speech is undermining every valid argument that the movement has been making. They're chanting our park, but it literally isn't. And it's just making the movement seem like they don't, like they're dumb. And it's making me really, really frustrated, people saying that camping is free speech when it's not.
Jesse LaGreca, want to talk to Jamie in Upper Manhattan?
Yeah, you know what, Jamie? The reason I refer to the ability to put a tent down where I like as an act of free speech is because it's an act of freedom of assembly. And to me, look at the conversation that we're having on the other side, that people are telling us that money equals speech, and since money equals speech, you can spend unlimited money buying politicians. Now, that's because you can bribe Clarence Thomas or Mitt Romney or even Barack Obama with money, right? But if money equal speech, and I can buy a tent with money, why is my tent not protected by that same freedom of assembly or those other rights?
That's literally not how it works. There are rules about assembly, and it's a privately owned park. Camping out in someone else's space, I can't pitch a tent in my neighbor's apartment and say, sorry, freedom of speech, you can't kick me out.
Yeah, and you're right about that. To me, I think it's a merger of a private-public space, and that's part of the reason that we try to maintain a constant presence. Another thing about the tenting out, though, is the reality is the winter's coming in. It's different than the summer for a lot of us in the north. And in order to maintain an around-the-clock presence to keep this conversation going forward, people need to not freeze to death. You know, when I was in Denver, I saw two people suffer hypothermia. The next day, a veteran, a U.S. veteran who was homeless, set up a tent, and the police ripped him out of that tent. Homeless people, and I'm not talking about myself, talking about other people who are homeless that we often neglect in society, are literally freezing to death. And Occupy Wall Street, in its own little forms, are trying to find a way to secure these people, to provide them food, to provide them a library and a medical tent. And the same things that are being denied us by a corrupt system and corrupt politicians like Bloomberg are the things being ripped away from us. Now, I understand tenting is getting to be a distraction in the conversation. I'd like to veer off of that as well. And I thank you for your support. And I thank the caller who made a call earlier for his support, even though he misinterpreted what we're doing as in support of socialism.
Right.
My point.
And I'll just make the point.
There's a lot to talk about.
And I'm sure that Mitt Romney and President Obama and certainly Clarence Thomas as a Supreme Court justice who doesn't take campaign contributions would deny that they're being bribed, as you characterized it. But WNYC's Alex Goldmark with protesters in Lower Manhattan. Alex, what's your tally as far as you know it on how many arrests and how many injuries this morning?
The latest news that I heard was that there were about 100 arrests. I don't know about injuries. I did speak with the medic team as they were regrouping in Foley Square and taking stock of what equipment they had that they were able to carry out. And they said that they treated a small handful of people for pepper spray arrests and that there wasn't anything else serious and that there was only pepper spray that they treated. So it doesn't sound like there was any violence in that sense this morning.
Jesse, where are you right now? Are you with any group of protesters?
Actually, no. I'm back and forth across the city, so I'm in Queens right now, and then I'm taking another radio call shortly. But I have friends who were arrested last night. I have friends who are active right now. I'm hoping for their safety, and you know, I'd like to remind everybody that we came peacefully. If the police wanted to have a picnic, they'd have brought picnic baskets. They wanted a riot. That's why they brought riot gear. And I'm very frustrated by the state of affairs, but I'm also encouraged. I hear so many people who are still not going away. These problems aren't going away because of what happened last night. They're not going away after the next election. We need to address the problems in our society on so many different levels that this conversation is so important to have.
Jesse, you weren't there last night when this happened. You've been characterized as one of the leaders of Occupy Wall Street. I heard a report that it was actually sparsely populated. Are you not actually sleeping there? Are other leaders of the group in the political sense actually not sleeping there?
Lots of people sleep there. Once in a while, I don't. You know, it's funny because it's almost as if we were homeless in the streets, then we would have more legitimacy as a movement. The most people involved in this movement are working class people. They have full-time jobs. They just simply can't make their ends meet, and they don't know what's going to happen in the future. So myself included, I have an apartment. I'm not homeless. Does that make it any less urgent, my message? Does that make my participation any less valid? I don't think so. Unfortunately, last night, I literally had to go home and shower and change clothing. And I fell asleep in my bed. When I woke up, I saw the news today, and I'm appalled. But, you know, it's an interesting question to ask, and I think we should all ask ourselves, you know, why is the validity of people participating in this protest question and not the validity of people who question this protest?
Jesse LaGreca, an organizer of Occupy Wall Street and a blogger for Daily Kos, thank you very much for joining us today. And WNYC's Arun Venugopal, who covered the mayor's news conference and earlier the protesters, WNYC's Alex Goldmark with the protesters, thank you both very much. We'll check
Thank
in
you, Ryan.
With you guys later. One of the things that the occupiers are planning for later today is a march that we're told is going to include some of their union supporters. And we will talk to one of those union supporters, the head of the Transport Workers Union, coming up in just a minute. Brian Lehrer at WNYC.